Welcome to Buy This Comic, the show where you keep the vital and vibrant medium of comics alive by infusing it with your hard-earned cash. I'm your host, Jason Mojica, and this week we're joined by James Romberger, whose excellent new graphic novel, Post York, is out now. It's published by Berger Books, a division of Dark Horse Comics. Hello, James.
Hello, Jason.
So for starters, tell the good people about Post York. How would you describe it?
Well, Post York is basically a post-apocalyptic graphic novel. It's based on, the main character is based on my son, Crosby. I made it look like him. And, it kind of grew out of my fears for him as, global warming accelerates. What would happen to New York. Actually, it first was released as a one-shot comic by Uncivilized Books that was like 36 pages, which came out the week that Hurricane Sandy hit New York City. Mm-hmm. And, Crosby lived at that time on Avenue C and 9th Street, which is like several blocks away from where I live. And he got up that morning and a police car floated by his front door. Mm-hmm. So now, like 9 years later, I wanted to expand the book into a graphic novel. And actually, in the first book, Crosby did a rap song that was made into a flexi disc that was bound into that comic. Now it's a graphic novel of like 100 pages. We don't have the flexi disc in it, but it's free. It's available free online at postwork.com. But I actually took some of his lyrics. He has a lyric in the song that's like, trying to keep dry, set the city on fire. So I kind of used that line as a catalyst for the ending of the new expanded series of events that culminate in this conflagration. So, He acted as sort of a consultant all the way through. He's really the only person I showed the book in progress to. And, he had some ideas and I incorporated them in. And his lyrics really juiced up the whole process. So it is a collaboration of sorts, Mm-hmm. But basically, the other thing about this particular book is that I realized as I was drawing it that, what I did was a fiction that has, all the kinds of drama and romance and all this stuff that you need for a story, for a dramatic story. But in reality, I was really worried that I didn't think anybody would survive what would happen to New York if the oceans were. But if you looked at what was going on in terms of people talking about what would happen to New York in the eventuality of global warming, it was kind of a ambiguous set of figures that were thrown out. Some people would say, oh, the oceans are going to rise like 3 feet by, let's say, 2040 or something. Well, then you read another account and they'd be like, oh no, they mean 3 meters. Well, that's a big difference. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I really need to do something to like find out what is actually the reality of what could happen. So what ended up happening was my partner Marguerite Van Cook is working with this young man, Marvin Chung, on a startup about sustainability called Unbuilt Labs. And they have a lot of researchers that work for them. And I posed a series of questions about what exactly would happen to New York in this eventuality. And they went through and answered these questions in a way that was absolutely fearsome. Mm-hmm. So, and then I kind of paraphrased this raw data that they sent me into an essay that's in the back of the book that really is just horrific.
It is.
Yeah, you read it, so it's bad news. I mean, it's not that, actually, if you look at our website that we've just been working on putting together for postjerk.com, where you can hear the song and you can see these other things, there's a link to all the Unbuilt Labs articles that elaborate on what will happen. It elaborates on what I did in the essay, and you can see the facts. Like, for instance, there's a thing in a place in the Bronx called Hunts Point, mm-hmm. where all the food that comes into New York City passes through this place. Okay. And it's the distribution point. So, all these trucks come in there and then they go out and they come to various places in New York to deliver food. it's at sea level. And there is absolutely no plan in place for what would happen to this if, you know, there's a flood situation. Right. So literally the entirety of New York City would be out of food in 3 days. So, I mean, it's just, and that's just one of the issues that is unresolved
right.
in the face of what we're facing. So,
right. I will say that I read it with horror because I live about 200 feet from the East River. But at the same time, I also noticed the part of me that wants to kick the can down the road because I was like, oh, you know, 2050, okay, I can live here for almost 30 more years and I'll be fine.
Well, all it takes is like, you know, one major like east, you know, super hurricane on the East Coast to kind of upend all these things, and you just don't know what would happen. So yeah, it's pretty frightening. So anyway, I'm hoping right. that I do want to promote the idea of people really looking at this article as well. I mean, I have my fictional thing as a comic, but then there's this other aspect to it that's very, very real. So
right. Now you mentioned that Post York came out as a one-shot some years ago. So how long in total have you been working on Post York?
Well, I was in school at Columbia University from around 2007 to 2011, getting a degree. And at that time, well, something came up in this one of the classes, and I was like thinking about like what would happen to New York. And I think I did like a weird performance about it. And I did some odd paintings mm-hmm. showing a guy floating through the city. And I wrote like a few short vignettes in creative writing classes about a guy floating around the city in this situation. So I kind of came up with a bunch of different ways of thinking about it. But it wasn't, you know, then at some point I thought of the idea, the title Post York, and that really kind of solidified it as a property, so to speak. So that really was like the moment when it gelled. And then I was like, okay. And then I was thinking about Crosby and what he's facing. And I just started working. And actually the first 20 pages that were in the first comic and that are at the beginning of the present book were pretty much drawn in pencil in like one sitting in a couple of days. I just like zapped it out.
Wow.
And then, you know, I'd go in and I'd kind of insert things where I thought, you know, I had other ideas. And so the whole book kind of, it wasn't like there was really a script ever. I mm-hmm. just started drawing. And then I kept that kind of improvisatory technique all the way through.
Right.
And so like when I came to like expand it into a graphic novel from the initial, you know, one shot, which actually got nominated for an Eisner, so that, you know, I had some mm-hmm. response to it. But then even at that first book, there I set up a situation where there was like a story that came up to a certain point, and then there's a big or on one page, and it goes to like back to a slightly earlier part in the story, and like what would happen if one little scene went slightly differently, so then what's the outcome, and I extrapolated from that outcome. So then for the larger book, I expanded on the second outcome and added another outcome. So there's three different kind of alternative scenarios that are really basically from like a bad decision that's made at a certain point or right. an odd situation that just happens slightly differently. And this is what life is like. If you know, it's not right. like the alternative universe, but you know, if you do the wrong thing at any one moment, shit could go way, way badly. So,
indeed. Yeah. And on that point, talking about those kind of turns in the comic, you know, the medium of comics is quite flexible and there's so much that can be done with the form, which is why it's always been so strange to me that people rarely even try to push the envelope. And so in Post York, you've done something which I've never seen before, which is taking a bit of inspiration from the films of the French New Wave. So can you talk about the idea of camera stilo and how you applied it to Post York?
Right. Well, actually, the first scene where the, you know, the young man is like getting into the boat and this cat kind of crawls around his shoulders, that's actually an homage to a French film from well before the French New Wave. It's Jean Vigo's La Atalante, which is like a seafaring kind of story. The French New Wave thing is, the camera stilo is called, it's the camera that writes. So it was the way they approached doing cinema. They wrote in the process of filming. So in the same way that I kind of writing in the process of drawing, they were writing in the process of filming. But the other thing about it is there's a sort of a reflexive self-aware element. And one of the things I was interested in doing is like there's all these, you know, alternative comics like those of Dan Close and Chris Ware and people in that area. But they're always like super, you know, cartoony types in a sense, like cartoonisty cartoonists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, adventure comics, you know, like, let's say more realistic, but like the superhero and the and people fighting and all that, the kind of that American strain of comics generally doesn't have a reflexive end, except maybe, I guess I've heard Deadpool has that. I haven't really seen any of those, but so this is really an effort to do a sort of a reflexive comic in the adventure mode, because that's mm-hmm. how I draw. But I've kind of expanded that area where it wasn't really seen. Like I remember like people like Art Spiegel would be like, no, that has to be done by, you know, by real cartoony cartoonists. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll do it myself.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful book to spend time with. And I say spend time because I really found myself lingering on many of the images within, you know. I don't know about you, but I spend far more time on panels and pages that are wordless than I do with those that have text. You know, and I think the artwork in Post York really invites the viewer to investigate each panel and imagine the physicality of this, you know, realistically dystopian New York City that you've created. I think it's great.
Right. I mean, it's like, yeah, there's a thing where even though I'm drawing in that adventure style, like in that zone of comics, they tend to like cool shot. I like to call it the cool money shots of dudes with guns. You know, and violence is always glamorized, like those are the coolest shots or something. But mm-hmm. I always kind of try to draw the violence seems like more kind of realistic and deglamorized, because this shit just hurts, you know, or it kills you, and it's not fun, and usually happens in these really abrupt kind of asymmetrical bursts where it's not really a cool pose. It looks a bit off. You know, off balance. Like think of, you know, Jarmusch's Dead Man or something, where, you know, somebody accidentally gets shot, you know, like halfway off the screen or something. It's not really, you know, it's not meant to be something somebody would want to do. You know, it's like,
right,
you know, you're probably gonna get hurt even if you're the one doing the damage. You know, so it's like you punch somebody, it actually hurts.
Yeah, indeed.
Ow, and my poor knuckles.
Talk to me about working with Karen Berger.
Well, I worked with Karen Berger at Vertigo, and she did several. But she did the first edition of 7 Miles a Second with David Wonorowicz and Marguerite Van Cook. And then I also did 2020 Visions with her. I did, you know, one arc, the Renegade arc of a 3 issues out of a 12-issue miniseries, which now we're a year past 2020, but that book just got reissued in a trade paperback from Comics Mix. And then I did Aaron and Ahmed, which is a terrorist fable written by Jay Cantor. And then I also did Bronx Kill, which was with Peter Milligan. And now Karen, Vertigo is kind of done, or they're sort of limping along. But Karen works for Dark Horse, and she has her own imprint, Berger Books. And they have, let's see, they just came out with a book of called The Seeds with Ann Macenti, mm-hmm. David Aha. And that's a beautiful book. And she has a whole range of stuff. She did all these books with the late Anthony Bourdain. That was really Bourdain, sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Away, but his book was Hungry Ghosts. But anyway, you know, she's doing these very, you know, quite difficult and edgy books, but they're all very beautifully, elegantly produced. So I feel good about working with Karen. Yeah. She was always good to me. So,
yeah. She has very good taste, clearly.
Yes.
And by the time this airs, Post York will be at your local comic shop. Where is your local comic shop?
I guess the closest one to me is Forbidden Planet, and I go there sometimes. You know, generally speaking, I go up and buy a lot of stuff from either Jim Hanley's universe, JHU on 32nd and 3rd, or I'll go out to, you know, Brooklyn and go to Desert Island. That's a bit more towards the alternative. But if you want the mainstream, I go to JHU. And if I want the alternative, I'll go to Desert Island. And, you know, Forbidden Planet's okay. It's they got a lot of toys and statues and stuff. I mean, these are all, you know, good sources for comics. So, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, we have to keep comic shops alive.
Indeed, indeed. And so where can people find you online and keep up with what you're doing?
Well, there's going to be the Post York site, postyork.com, that's live now, and we're working on it, so it'll keep getting better, and I'll be blogging on that as well, and the Unbuilt Labs, unbuiltlabs.com has the research aspect and some of our merch. Mm-hmm. We actually made merch. Nice. Get your Post York water bottle and mask.
Very cool.
Like that, and then yeah, I got a site, but I got to update that thing. Else I haven't.
What about Instagram, Twitter, things like that?
I am on Instagram. It's James_Romberger.
Gotcha. Well, we'll put a link. We'll put a link.
I'm not on Twitter really because of the hideous orange beast was on there so long. But now I just saw in the news like that since they booted his ass off, they're getting a huge jump in Twittles. So that's a good thing. It's like it actually was to their advantage to get rid of him. Like, thank you very much.
Indeed.
So maybe I'll get on Twitter.
There you go. Well, thank you again, James. I really appreciate your time. I love Post York, and I hope other people enjoy it as much as I do.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Well, you listening in, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and follow us on the social media. We are simply Buy This Comic, all one word. Goodbye.